We're previewing UFC Atlantic City. Ringside Report MMA starts now.
Let's go!
Atlantic City, Fred. Can you believe it? Where's Fred? There he is. Freddy Garcia in the house.
I was looking as we were doing the countdown. I'm going, where is this event taking place?
And thanks.
I forget the name. I closed the page already, but it's like a venue of a little bit over 10,000 people. I'm struggling to believe they sold they'll get 10,000 people there, man. I mean, come on, man. This ain't the best card. Sorry to start this way, but I'm being really critical.
It's the UFC. It's Atlantic City. I think they'll probably sell out. I think they'll sell out. Why not? It's not the best card, but it's not the worst card. I'm going to watch it.
Probably. True. Chris Weidman's on it. Local guy. So, yeah.
That's it. Weidman is from the area. He's fighting. He's a legend of the sport, former champion. He's on the main card. Aaron Blanchfield, Manon Fiorot in the main event. The winner probably gets a flyweight title shot. That's a big fight. Vicente Luque against Joaquin Buckley. Interesting welterweight co-main event. And then we got some other fights. Verna Jandiroba, Lupi Godinez, Bill Algeo, Kyle Nelson. Yeah, it's not the most star-studded event here from the UFC. And I think that's because we're headed towards UFC 300. We're coming off UFC 299 and even UFC 298, which were events that were absolutely stacked. And these other cards have been kind of thin.
Yeah, last 300. Weekend,
like last weekend, we had Nama Yunus and Ribas, which was, you know, a decent main event.
Still. Yeah.
But the card itself was kind of thin. It kind of fell off after that.
I mean, Blanchfield versus Fioro is an excellent main event. Like, I'm not going to complain about that. I would like a little more star power. Chris Weidman, yeah, I forgot about him. He's on the card, but I think he might lose, man. I don't know, man. I hope he doesn't lose. This might be his farewell fight at home, or we'll see.
I mean, Chris Weidman is a star, but he's kind of a star past his prime. There's not a lot of stars that are kind of in the game hunting for title shots on this card outside of Fioro and Blanchfield. And even then, I mean, that fight I just talked about, Rose Namajunas and Amanda Ribas, Rose won last weekend. So she's always a title contender, I think, right? Even though she's coming off a loss to Manon Fioro, if, say, Aaron Blanchfield beats Fioro, who does the UFC do next for the winner of, well, I think is going to be Valentina and Grasso, the rematch, right? They're fighting again? Is that official?
I'm not sure if it's official, but I think that's the plan. That's the fight they want to do.
Yeah, because the last one ended in a draw. So I think you have to do it again, right? I think they are doing it again, which kind of puts the division in a weird spot. But I'm pretty sure. Oh, yeah, they're coaching the Ultimate Fighter against each other. Grasso and Shevchenko. So that's, you know, they're going to fight each other at the end. They are the two number one contenders. You know, Grasso is the champion. Shevchenko is the former champion, number one contender. They're going to fight for the flyweight title. So right now, that division, you know, we had a big fight in that division last weekend. We got another one main eventing a UFC card this weekend. But that division itself is kind of on standby because we haven't even started seeing Grasso and Shevchenko on the Ultimate Fighter. So we're going to have to wait until that season plays out and then they fight to figure out who is really, you know, the champion. And then, like,
so if Blanchfield wins, you make her face Rose right away.
I think you're right.
We have a clear number one contender.
What if Fioro wins?
It's tougher since she already has a win against Rose, but Does she want to be inactive for that long? Is anybody else in that division a contender?
I mean, I would think that, you know, these are the top contenders. Blanchfield is the top contender. Rose Namajunas. I mean, if Fioro can get through both of them, you would think, without a doubt, she would be the number one contender. But she would have to wait maybe a year.
Like 10 months, yeah.
A year, possibly, or more, to get a title shot. And I'm looking at the rankings right now. They've got Grasso the champ, Shevchenko ranked 1, Blanchfield 2, Fioro 3, Macy Barber 4, Jessica Andrade 5, Caitlin Chukagian Sermanara 6, Rose Namajunas just entered at 7. She was unranked before. Only 7.
She changed weight class.
Yeah, that's
it. Yeah, so I don't know, man. Like, maybe Rose doesn't deserve right away a shot, another fight against Fioro. Maybe Rose has to win another fight also before getting a title shot. Like, Macy Barber versus Fioro, have they ever fought? I mean, that could make sense. Macy Barber's a decent fighter. But we'll see, man. Maybe Blanchfield wins and, you know, it's a clearer path. But she would want to be active. I would hope she would want to be active. Whoever's the number one contender, they shouldn't be waiting 10 months to a year. That doesn't make sense.
I think if Blanchfield wins, it is kind of easier. Because if Manon Fioro wins, it's really hard to deny her a title shot, but she's going to have to wait for so long. You might have to have her fight Macy Barber or something like that. If Blanchfield wins, you could have her fight Rose Namajunas or Macy Barber or whoever. And then the winner of that could get a title shot. I think Barber's in the discussion too. She just picked up a good win recently, right? Who did she fight, Macy Barber? She looked good in her last fight. Do I mean maybe Barber? No, I mean Macy Barber, UFC fighter, 14-2, 25 years old. She just beat Caitlin Sermanara Chukagian in her last fight, UFC 299.
That's a good win.
That's a very good win. Her last loss, back in 2021, to Alexa Grasso by decision in a 3-rounder. She's won 6 in a row. And like I said, she's just 25 years old, 14-2 record as a pro, has won 6 straight in the UFC. Ranked 4th at 125 pounds. Macy Barber's in the discussion. It could be Macy Barber versus Rose Namajunas. But this fight this weekend is also kind of at play in the whole puzzle of the women's flyweight division, which is a division I like, Fred. I like the women's flyweight division. I feel like it is the best women's division. It has the most names, the best fights, and maybe the best talent. I think 125 is where it's at. 135 is kind of like not really active anymore. It used to be 135 was the place to be, but you don't have that many 135 fights anymore. It's not a title that's defended a whole lot or talked about a whole lot. You have
it's weird. Juliana Pena still, she's gonna be getting the next title shot, or
really? Oh yeah, against Pennington.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
I could see that. Why not? Because that's the thing. They need a name. They need somebody that people have heard of. And Juliana Pena, according to the UFC's rankings, is ranked number one, so it makes sense. But I like the 125 division. They have a lot of talent there.
Definitely. There's more names that we know and that we think are contenders, whether it's Blanchfield, Fioro, Barber. I mean, and even lower, like Chukagian, she lost, but she's a very solid fighter. And now with Rose in that division, it makes the top 7-8 very interesting matchups to be made.
And we have a main event this weekend, Manon Fioro versus Aaron Blanchfield. And it's too bad AJ is not here with us. I see my man Angelo Contagones in the chat. Lior in the chat. He says he really missed Wrestling Uncensored last week. Well, Lior, we will be back tomorrow night. Don't you worry. We will be back with a super edition of Wrestling Uncensored. A lot of talk tomorrow about professional wrestling. The final boss laying the smacketh down on Cody Rhodes' candy ass on Monday night, brother, in the rain, looking majestic. My God, it was beautiful. What a piece of wrestling art that was on Monday night. Mwah. Terrific. The Rock is so good. God, I love wrestling. When wrestling is done right, it's so good. So good. We will talk about it tomorrow night, Lior. Don't you worry. There's a lot of wrestling to talk about, and I'm very excited. I saw all the wrestling. I'm ready to talk about it. I'm going to watch more wrestling tomorrow. I saw Dynamite. I saw Raw. I even watched Raw this week. We're getting down to WrestleMania season. I'm watching all of the Raw. It was okay. Some good points, though. CM Punk segment was very good. The Rock stuff, very good. Really good wrestling. But AJ is not here. And Johnny North wants to know where's AJ. And Angelo wants to know where's AJ. Everybody wants to know where's AJ. And I think AJ is undergoing a transformation. And he's not here tonight because he is transitioning into, how do we put this? He's going to have something that he doesn't have before. It's a tale. He's becoming the Easter Bunny. So we have to let AJ go and get ready for all of this and undergo his transition this weekend. So he won't be with us because he is transitioning into the Easter Bunny. I don't know what Fred thought I was talking about, but AJ is transitioning into the Easter Bunny this weekend, and we wish him all the best, and that's why he's not with us here tonight, because it's a long process. He's got to get the makeup right. He's got to get his carrots all ready and his eggs and his chocolate and everything. He's very busy. Happy Easter, by the way, to all our Easter celebrating friends. Happy Easter, Fred.
Right back at you, man.
Thanks. I don't really know Easter. I'm not like an Easter guy. I mean, I guess, you know, I do an egg hunt for the kids, though. They like that.
I'm a day off guy.
Oh, I love days off. Days off are great. I like a nice long weekend. Nice Easter weekend. Sweet. So happy Easter weekend to all our viewers watching this evening. I know a lot of us finished our work week today, and we can kind of cruise for the rest of the week, hang out, relax, right? UFC on ABC, not UFC on ABC. We'll talk about that later. But the UFC in Atlantic City, no AJ for it, which is disappointing because he loves Manon Fiorot. Any chance he gets, he will talk about Manon Fiorot and how she's the best and how she will never lose and how she will be the next champion and how she's so impressive. And he told everybody from the beginning that she was great and she was the best and this and that, and he discovered her and all of this. And
you should have programmed AI AJ to say all those things.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave. It would have looked real.
I told you, Manon Fiorot, I told everybody, AJ. I don't know. I don't do a great AJ impression.
AJ here. I am very sorry, Dave and Fred. I am also much younger than the real AJ.
We need AI AJ to say more than that, though. I need to be able to have a conversation with AI AJ. Can we rig that up?
Can we ask AI AJ to sell us on Manon Fiorot winning her fight?
Yeah. Can AI AJ say something about how Manon Fiorot is the future of the UFC and she will definitely beat who's she fighting? Erin Blanchfield this weekend? How about that? Can we talk about that? AI AJ. So he and the thing is with him talking about how she's gonna win and how she's the best, he's been correct. She has won all of her fights in the UFC. She's actually won 11 straight fights as a professional. She dropped her first ever fight by split decision and has won each and every fight since. And, of course, we were very impressed by Manon Fiorot the first time we saw her, and this is why AJ likes to take credit. It was a fight that I saw as well, but I'm not going to take credit because I'm not AJ. But she beat Corinne Laframboise in her fourth pro fight. It was Fiorot's fourth pro fight in the UAE Warriors show, and we were watching that because we know Corinne, and I think we had Corinne on before that fight. So that was something. We were impressed by Manon beating Corinne, and then since then, AJ has been on the Manon Fiorot hype train, and when she got into the UFC, he was off and running. And now she has a big fight against Erin Blanchfield, who's somebody that I've been on the hype train of. I've been all hyping Erin Blanchfield because I've been very impressed with everything that she has done in her very young MMA career. And young, I think, is the operative word here. As Manon Fiorot, 34 years old, Erin Blanchfield, just 24. There is a 10-year age gap between these two fighters. Erin Blanchfield lost one professional fight as well, 12-1 as a pro, one loss by split decision back in her fourth pro fight in 2019. So if you want to do the math here, Fred, it's 2024, and she's 24. So in 2019, she was either 20 or 19 years old. And she's fighting pro MMA in Invicta. Like, not like a bum organization. She's fought for Invicta, you know, a very reputable all-women's MMA promotion. She was fighting in Invicta at 19. She started in 2018. She's a prodigy. And she has been smashing the competition in the UFC, undefeated inside the octagon, 6 straight wins in the UFC. I've been very impressed with everything I've seen from Erin Blanchfield. Solid striking, excellent wrestling, and submission grappling. She is the total package. Black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Just incredible ability to take her opponents down and finish them. Erin Blanchfield is the fighter that I've been waiting for years now. Somebody who has Khabib or GSP level takedowns where he's going to hit at a 70, 80, 90% percentage of takedowns in the octagon, and the finishing rate of, like, you know, a Ryan Hall or a Damian Maya, or just somebody who can just control you, dominate you on the ground, and finish you with beautiful jiu-jitsu, which we haven't really ever seen. We've seen Damian Maya, who had some takedowns but wasn't a great wrestler, but his jiu-jitsu, once he got you there, was unbelievable. We've had Khabib, who could take you down, who could control you, but sometimes you could get back up, but he would take you down again. He was relentless with those takedowns, and he had good finishing ability on the ground that he developed, I think, later on in his career. Earlier on, he was more of a decision guy. Later on, he got more into the submissions. And now I think Islam Makhachev is the evolution of that style, where you're seeing him finish guys on the feet and on the ground. But his jiu-jitsu isn't, like, fancy. It's still kind of, like, rough and tumble, you know? Blanchfield is slick. Like, she's got some slick jiu-jitsu, black belt level jiu-jitsu with very good takedowns, very good wrestling. It's an impressive combination, and I think she's going to win. Right now, odds have Erin Blanchfield minus 190, the favorite, Manon Fiorot plus 160, the underdog, which is interesting. I didn't think that it would be that far apart. I thought it'd be a little closer. Even though I'm picking Blanchfield, I think this fight could be a pick'em. You know what I mean? It's a close fight. Who are you picking?
I mean, I'm going to I'm going to just listen to your advice. You're the expert on female MMA. You're the guru of picking female MMA fights. So Erin Blanchfield winning makes a lot of sense. And she's an excellent fighter. They're both excellent fighters, actually, man. Fiorro also is an excellent fighter. AJ would be making much better points than I am right now. But they're both on a very long winning streak. They've both defeated some decent competition. And they're both in line for a title. So it's unfortunate that the winner doesn't get a title shot right away from this fight, because they're going to probably have to wait. So I'm going to go with Blanchfield. I trust your analysis. And I like, she's a good fighter. She, like you said, she has some good grappling, some good wrestling. And if Fiorro's on her back, I think it's going to be an issue. So I'm going to go with Blanchfield winning, and I think she might finish it.
Over five rounds, I think she does have the opportunity to finish. I think the submission might present itself, but Fiorro is so tough and so durable. I feel like we're going to go to a decision. Erin Blanchfield by decision right now is plus 240. Erin Blanchfield by submission, plus 205. So the odds favor her to win by submission. By decision is the second highest favorite odd. And then Fiorro by knockout, plus 475. Followed by Blanchfield by knockout, plus 730. Fiorro by submission, plus 1800. Fiorro by decision. Oh, sorry. Fiorro by decision, plus 365. So that's also a possibility that the odds are looking at. I mean, that's, you know, that's decent, actually. That's a decent number for a fight that could definitely go to Fiorro by decision, plus 365. It's a tough fight. It's like, I don't want to take anything away from Manon Fiorro, because she could easily win this fight. This is a really close fight. I'm going with Blanchfield by decision. I think plus 240 would be my call. We did give you, or sorry, I gave you Rose Namajunas by decision last weekend. And what happened, Fred? Rose Namajunas won by decision against Amanda Ribas. You know who AJ picked? Do you remember? Were you on the you were on the show last weekend, right? Last Thursday?
Yep. You know I who picked he picked Rose right? also? I had no, Rose
he,
also.
No, he picked Ribas.
Yeah, I know. He picked Ribas.
Yeah. Yeah, you had Rose. We both had Rose. I said Rose by decision, which came out pretty nice.
And that was a nice win from her, man.
Yeah, she
good
looked
performance.
Good performance. Yeah. And then AJ had Amanda Ribas. So I know AJ would definitely be picking Manon Fiorro this weekend. But we were right last weekend with the main event. And I think we'll be right again this weekend with Erin Blanchfield. And to seal the deal, I believe we have AI AJ to kind of fill in for AJ and give us his thoughts on the fight. So let's hear from AI AJ.
Manon Fiorro believes she's hit the end line in her quest for a UFC championship fight. On Saturday, Fiorro takes on Erin Blanchfield at the main UFC event. It's a huge fight for the women's flyweight division, pitting together arguably the two most title-deserving contenders. Although the UFC has yet to officially label
Sounds
the fight
Latino.
A title eliminator, yes. Fiorro, 11-1 MMA, 6-0 UFC, expects to get the shot if he is victorious against Blanchfield, 12-1 MMA, 6-0 UFC.
AI AJ wants to prove that he could play in Scarface.
I mean, it was odd because there was like a Spanish accent to him. I'm not sure why. It did sound like him, though. And it was weird because at a certain point, I kind of tuned out, just like when AJ talks, you know? And he just kind of rattled off a bunch of numbers, which AJ does all the time for no reason. That was fun. AI AJ. Better than the real thing. I mean, just as good, I'd say. Just as good. All right, so that was ridiculous. Look at the technology we have, Fred. We can fake AJ on this show.
if AJ was in a contract dispute, are you allowed to use AI AJ, or is that like a breach of likeness?
I think we can use AJ Rodriguez, if we want to, you know, which is who we just heard from, I think. That wasn't AI AJ D'Alessio. That was something else. That was AI AJ Garcia, you know. I don't know what's going on there. That was somebody else. I think we own him, and I think we own AJ D'Alessio too, for all intents and purposes, for merchandise, for
it was AJ
everything.
Alonso, not AJ D'Alessio.
Yeah, whoever that was. But we own AJ D'Alessio. You own it too, Fred. It's in the contract. AJ signed over all of his likenesses, everything, in perpetuity, which means forever. So you and I own it. You have a piece. You're in the deal. We're doing great. We're going to sell AJ T-shirts. The real kick is when he dies. Then we really cash in. So we might want to pull the old Michael Jackson scenario and just kind of get him the right doctors, if you know what I mean. I'm not saying they did that to Michael or Prince or anything, but, you know, some artists outlive their value, and then they start spending their money that they've made, and other people could spend that money, and they, you know.
Who's going to spend Diddy's money? Who's going to spend Diddy's money? His lawyers?
Hopefully his victims. Yeah. Hopefully the victims of P. Diddler. What a bad guy P. Diddy turned out to be. I mean, he never seemed like a good guy, but he seems far worse than anyone really knew. I'm sure some people knew. But, yeah. Puffy. Can't stop, won't stop. Bad boy for life. He meant it. We should have listened to him. You know? You know? Tremendous. Puffy, man. Yeah, that's a crazy story that's still unfolding, right? It's like, what's going to be
Cent
the...
50 Cent is loving every bit of it. He's laughing and all.
Yeah.
But I think there's like a story of like 50 Cent's baby mama involved in some way or something. And 50...
Yeah. Well, somebody...
yeah, 50 just called her like a sex worker.
Yeah, well, that's basically what is being alleged in a lawsuit, that this woman who 50 Cent had a child with has been working as a full-time paid sex worker for Puffy, that he keeps them on staff.
And he has cameras in every room and everything. Puffy's a weird dude, man.
Puffy's on some Jeffrey Epstein stuff, I think. Puffy's on some R. Kelly, you know, crazy.
Is he going to get Jeffrey Epstein? Will he not kill himself?
Yo, that would be crazy.
There's probably a lot of people right now nervous of what Puffy could say. Because, like, there's a lot of other celebrities that partake in his debauchery. So, like, there's some people that probably would like Puffy to get Epstein.
Yeah. I don't know what the end of that story is going to be. I'm just watching and going, whoa. Oh, my God. You know, it's just, it's crazy. And you're not sure what to believe because nothing has been... Right? Like, it's all kind of allegations at this point. Nothing has been actually proven in a court of law. He's not been to court. Nothing has, you know? You know what I'm saying?
There's
like, nothing.
So, where there's so much smoke, there is fire.
But that's not how the legal system works.
It works. I know. That's not how it works.
But, yeah, when his houses are getting raided, when two different houses in Miami and Los Angeles are getting raided at the same time by the federal government, you go, whoa, this just hit a different level. This isn't a civil suit anymore. This is something else. Puffy could wind up in jail. And then what did they find out? What did they find out when they get Puffy in a room? What does he start to say? Are they ready for what Puffy would say? Because Puffy's been around and known everybody forever. There's pictures of Puffy with everybody. So how does that all work out? And then, like, where's Keefy D right now? And, like, did Puffy pay off people that killed Tupac? Are we going to find out any, like, is that part of it?
I watched a documentary once. It was the police officer that investigated all that. And he described, I think so. I'm not sure. A white guy it was.
Yeah, but Russell Poole, I think.
He described his theory, and I thought it made a lot of sense, where he said, like, Puffy maybe opened his mouth that he wanted to put a bounty, and then the bounty got done, and then Puffy had to pay for that bounty, because you can't just, like, talk like that for nothing. So in the end, that puts you in involved in a murder case, man. But hey, they never were able to prove any of that.
No, but there was
crazy
there was
world.
There was that rumor where Puffy was, like, you know, talking, drinking, saying, "Oh, I hate those guys. I'd pay $100,000 to kill Tupac." But if you say that around the wrong people, they might take you seriously. So then,
if you're drunk.
That's it. But, you know, but whatever. Say you get into an altercation with Tupac and he attacks you in, let's say, a casino. And let's say, for example, you then hunt him down in your car, find him on a Las Vegas street and gun him down and murder him. And then you decide, well, I've just done this. I need to hide. I need some money. I was around Puff a couple months ago and he said, $100,000. I'm going to go collect all my money. You go to Puffy and you go, "Hey, Puffy, give me some money." And he's like, "What are you talking about?" "Well, Puffy, listen, give me some money or somebody close to you is going to wind up in trouble." Who knows? But there are a lot of rumors like that are out there.
Yeah, but if you that policeman, I remember his theory was more that I think the biggie was actually a retaliation from people around Suge Knight and all that. Yeah. Like,
because Suge believed Puffy had him killed. Yeah. Suge believed it was a contract. But that's not what really happened.
I don't think it was
a contract.
No. Like I say, I think Puffy talked too much. I'm just speculating, but imagine he's drunk in a party and somebody's like, "I'm going to do it." And he's like, I'll pay you. And the guy ends up doing it, and then, like, this fucking bad guy that just killed somebody expects me to pay him, so I might as well pay him.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what I understood from the theory of the cop that investigated the whole issue.
Yeah.
And then that same cop was saying that the people on Suge Knight's side wanted revenge, and they actually put a hit on Biggie. That's
and
a little bit of the
And sometimes it's not really about who did it and why, but just how it looks, the perception of it too, right? Because it seems like to me what happened was Tupac was told by one of his friends, "Hey, there's that guy who beat me up in a mall or whatever a few days ago. He took a death row chain. Oh, that guy, yes, that's Orlando Anderson. He's in the Crips." Tupac goes, attacks him, beats him down in the casino. And then Orlando Anderson goes, and this is documented in a documentary with Keefy D, who was his uncle. They go with some other guys in a car, they get a gun, and they find Tupac, and they shoot Tupac, and they kill him. And that was why, really, Tupac was killed. But also, they were kind of given the okay by Puffy and kind of given the say-so by Puffy, because Puffy was also using Crips as security when he was in L.A. doing business because, you know, Suge Knight was a member of the Bloods and he was heavy with Death Row and that whole scene, and they needed some kind of counter. You know, they weren't going to get help from the Bloods, so they needed the Crips there when they were there because they were from New York, and they needed a pass to go to certain places because it was dangerous. It's a bad scene.
Crazy
and now
world.
Puffy, you know? How's this all going to wind up for Puffy, who's been involved in so many things throughout the years? It's crazy. MMA, Fred. What are we talking about? You want to do a parlay? You got a parlay for this card?
Oh, man, it's kind of hard, man.
Yeah, I know.
I think... So you see, the co-main event is actually kind of interesting. And I think I'm leaning towards... I like Buckley, man. I think he's a good... I like Luque also, but I'm gonna put Buckley on my parlay with Blanchfield. And I think Bruno Silva's gonna win, but I don't like the odds. So I'm just gonna keep it with Joachim Buckley and Aaron Blanchfield.
Okay. It's an interesting pick. I'm gonna go with a similar parlay, but I'm gonna go the other way and give you Aaron Blanchfield and Vicente Luque. I think Luque pulls this one off. And that would be, hold on, I can show you the parlay. You know, Fred, our parlays pay out exactly the same because the Vicente Luque Joaquin Buckley fight is a pick'em. And we're both giving you two fight parlays that pay out exactly the same. It is identical. Over at bet99.com. So it really doesn't matter who you go with. Go with what you believe. Or go with who you believe. Fred or Dave on the co-main event of this card. I also like Andre Petroski as a solo bet. Let me show you the parlay that we're doing here. Whoa, yes, of course. Of course, remember. Always remember. Never forget. Oh, what happened to my parlay? Oh, Fred. Oh, Fred's gone. What happened to my Fred? I lost my Fred.
Mere?
I lost my parlay. Oh, there he is. Hey, Fred. You're back.
Never left.
Here's my parlay. It is 20 to win 38-28. It's a plus 191 parlay. Oh, no, it's 20. You bet 20, you get 58-28. So you're more than doubling your money over at bet99.com. It's Vicente Luque and Aaron Blanchfield. And I could give you Fred's parlay here. It'll pay out exactly the same. Aaron Blanchfield and Joaquin Buckley, 20, will get you 58-28 over at bet99.com. It's a pick 'em fight in the co-main event. I also like Andre Petroski. Let's take a look at Andre Petroski up here in the prelims. He's going to be fighting Jacob Malkoon. Petroski plus 190, the underdog. $5 gets you 950. $10 gets you 19. You know what I'm saying? The more you bet, the more you make. That's how gambling works, people. But then you could also lose. So bet responsibly. I also like Bruno Silva to beat Chris Weidman, but minus 245, I don't know. I also don't like the odds on that one, Fred. But yeah, I would go for one underdog pick. I like Andre Petroski at plus 190. And that is UFC Atlantic City. You watch that Boardwalk Empire? That was in Atlantic City.
Love that. Jip Rossetti. That's my favorite character.
Yeah. You watch Curb Your Enthusiasm?
No.
Steve Buscemi was on Curb Your Enthusiasm this weekend. It was confusing. Because a lot of people on Curb Your Enthusiasm play themselves as celebrities, you know? And I couldn't tell at first. I was like, is he playing himself or is he playing a character? And it turned out he was playing a character. And it was weird because I was like, just play yourself. The character made sense, though. I mean, it was about a colostomy bag. It was a whole thing. But they have so many celebrities playing themselves. It's kind of confusing when they have like a big celebrity star. You're like, what are you doing? Yeah, Conan was
I've
on
never
the same
watched,
episode.
That's
actually,
right. I've never watched Curb Your Enthusiasm. I'm not sure what the concept is or whatever.
What? Okay, you've watched Seinfeld, right?
Yeah.
Do you like Seinfeld?
Yeah. Oh, that's the Larry David show, huh?
Yeah.
I think I might have watched one episode.
What? I would investigate more, Fred. It's pretty good. I like it. Even the current season has been pretty good.
I'm rewatching Frasier right now with my wife, and I'm loving it again. Frasier's
classic.
Frasier might be my number one, man. He's close, man. Seinfeld's probably my number one, but Frasier's so close.
Frasier's the best. Frasier is a perfect sitcom. It's perfect.
Niles, they're all funny.
Oh, God.
His father.
Yeah. Daphne. I mean, they all kill it. Daphne. Everybody on that show. Roz, Bulldog,
Lilith,
everybody. Yeah. Eddie.
Of course.
You know?
You know what, man?
Season are you in right now? Season one. Does Frasier still have hair, or is he short
hair?
Frasier.
It's short hair. We started season four, but okay. I'll tell you what, man. For years, I've been watching Frasier, and I only recently understood what tossed salad
Manon
and scrambled eggs.
Manon Fiorot believes she's hit the end line in her quest for a UFC championship fight on Saturday. Fiorot takes on Erin Blanchfield at the main UFC event. It's a huge fight for the women's fly.
Talking about Frasier,
yeah,
division, AJ interrupting again.
So yeah, I recently understood what tossed salad and scrambled eggs was referencing to. That's a supposedly slang between like psychiatrists to talk about patients. You know, they got tossed salad and scrambled eggs. He's talking about their brains.
Oh.
It took me a year, but supposedly it's some lingo between psychiatrists where a bunch of snobs will refer to their patients in that way.
I had no idea.
Which
kind of
makes
sense,
man. Now you see, now it puts the whole song in a different way.
Yeah.
In different light.
Yeah. It's pretty good. You ever had sherry?
What's that?
They're always drinking it on Frasier. Sherry Niles. You know, he's always offering them a sherry.
Oh.
It's what they drink. I never had that. I don't know what that is.
I'm not sure what that is.
They love
it. Probably too expensive for me.
Oh, Frasier. Go eat at Le Cigar Volant. You know?
Such a beautiful apartment.
Oh, yeah.
Can we say that Frasier has
the
best apartment of all sitcoms? Shut up, AJ.
Yeah. Fred's talking here, AJ. Only talk when I tell you to.
Frasier has the best apartment of all any sitcom. Yeah, Frasier's got the best setup.
Hey, Dave, here's my parlay. On the prelims, I pick every underdog to win.
Good for you. I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah, best sitcom apartment? Yeah, maybe Frasier. It was nice. It was nice. Can't argue with you. I do very much love Frasier, though, too, Fred. I'm glad that you share the love for Frasier. I watch Frasier all the time. My daughter, who's going to be 2 in a couple weeks, also loves Frasier. She wants to watch Frasier. She asked for Frasier. She likes it. It's pretty funny. Okay, what else is happening in the world of MMA? We've got a big fight announced from Dana White, a big card, UFC on ABC in Saudi Arabia, June 22nd. UFC going to Saudi Arabia for the first time, going with a massive fight in the main event, Khamzat Chimaev versus Robert Whittaker. This is the fight we've been waiting to see for Khamzat Chimaev, a legitimate test with a top 3 opponent. Top 5, top 3, whatever. We're looking for the elite of the elite at middleweight for Khamzat to see what he's about, to see what this undefeated smashing machine can do. 29 years old, 13-0, just beat Kamaru Usman. Can he get through Robert Whittaker, who just had an impressive performance over Paulo Costa in his last outing at UFC 298? So I think this fight is huge and perfect. for what the middleweight division needs right now. We have Dricus du Plessis as the champion. There are rumors that he will be fighting Israel Adesanya at UFC 305. I think that's very likely. I think Sean Strickland's still in the mix because that fight with Dricus was so close and he beat Adesanya, so I don't think you can count Strickland out. And then here comes Robert Whittaker, who's still a contender, and Khamzat Chimaev, who, if he beats Whittaker, could be the number one contender, but there are guys in the way. Like I mentioned, Strickland, Whittaker, Adesanya, and of course the champion right now, 185, Dricus du Plessis. I wonder if Dricus survives Adesanya. I wonder if Khamzat beats Whittaker. I wonder who the UFC puts against Sean Strickland. What's next at middleweight? The middleweight division right now is bubbling. There are big fights about to happen and big fights just getting made. And this one, Khamzat and Whittaker, is kind of setting the table. Like, okay, we're going to give Khamzat a real fight at middleweight. And if he wins, then he's going to be with the big boys and he might fight the winner of Adesanya and Dricus, if that indeed is the fight. Or maybe it isn't, and if Khamzat wins, he just goes in there against Dricus in July or August and fights him. Which could be crazy, but you never know. I think unlikely. I think it's probably going to be Adesanya, and I think Whittaker or Khamzat could be next for the winner of that fight. But Strickland is also out there. Big fight. Who you got, Whittaker or Khamzat? It's hard to pick against Khamzat right now.
No, it's not that hard. I got Whittaker.
Ooh,
I mean,
what?
Come on, man. Whittaker he just defeated
Paulo Costa.
I got a blank. Who did? Yeah, Paulo Costa, and it wasn't that close. Like he defeated him very well, dominated that fight. And other than those Adesanya fights, and he lost to Dricus. But, I mean, those are the top guys of the division, man. And Chimaev, like, he's been nurtured a little bit. Like, they haven't given him – he fought Usman his last fight, who's not a real middleweight. He's off for a year always, things like that. So, I don't know, man. I feel pretty confident in my pick. I'm going to go with Whittaker. And if anything, this is the time for Chimaev to prove it, man, and jump on the opportunity. You defeat Whittaker, you're definitely a contender. And if Whittaker defeats Chimaev, well, that he's going to kill the hype, and that's also going to help his stock. So I got Whittaker. I'm feeling pretty confident.
Huge fight. In Saudi Arabia, though. Khamzat's not losing in Saudi Arabia. I don't think so. I like it, though. I like you're going with Whittaker. I'm going with Khamzat because he's just been this unstoppable force, and I don't think Whittaker's going to be able to stop him. I think Khamzat's going to put his lights out. I think he's going to knock him out. We've seen Whittaker knocked out before. We've never even seen Khamzat lose. I think he knocks him out. Khamzat's just... he's a smashing machine. And the rest of that card is pretty good, too. UFC putting up a solid card in Saudi Arabia. They get Kelvin Gastelum against Daniel Rodriguez, Sergey Pavlovich against Alexander Volkov, Johnny Walker against Volkan Ozdemir, and Sharabulut Magomedov against Ihor Potiera, and Nasrat Haqparast and Jared Gordon. So some big fights coming up in Saudi Arabia in Riyadh, June 22nd. Whittaker and Khamzat, and Sergey and Volkov. Walker and Ozdemir, too, is kind of a fun fight. It's not bad. And people like that Sharabulut guy. Dagestan, 12-0, looking impressive. He could be a contender at middleweight. Just beat Bruno Silva in his last fight. How old is this guy? 29? 12-0? He could be another one. He could be a problem for Khamzat in 6 months to a year, you know? It's a good division, middleweight. So that's Saudi Arabia coming up for the UFC. We also saw Brandon Moreno announce that he's stepping away from MMA for a bit. He didn't say retirement, but he said, like, it's not fun anymore. I'm going to take time living life regular, and then we'll see. He's 30 years old. He's been fighting pro since 2011. It's a long time. It's a 13-year fight career. It's a while, you know? And he's coming off two straight decision losses, split decision losses, that he feel like went his way. That he did everything he could, but the fight, you know, the judges didn't give it to him. I think he's frustrated. He's putting in a lot of work over a lot of years, and if one judge scores it the other way, he's the world champion. That loss to Pantoja in the title fight, split decision, close fight. He lost close decisions to Figueiredo. He lost a close decision to Royval in his last one. Like, I get it. He lost in Mexico City. It was supposed to be his night, and he lost a split decision back in February. And now in March, less than a month later, he's like, I'm going to step away. I think he'll be back. I just think mentally he needs a break. I feel for him, though. I hope he's all right.
That's the thing to do. If you're not mentally in it, man, MMA is not the sport to to go halfway. You know, you got to be 100% committed.
Yeah. Fred, let me ask you something. Do you think Dustin Poirier should be next for Islam Makhachev, or should it be Charles Oliveira?
Doesn't Oliveira have a fight coming up?
Good question.
Or maybe no.
Yes, I think he's fighting. But, isn't he fighting at UFC 300?
Yeah, he's fighting at 300.
Mm-hmm.
Who is he fighting?
Armin Sarukian.
I mean, that would be a pretty impressive win, but Poirier, man, he's a legend, man. He has the resume. His last win was very impressive. Either way, I wouldn't have a problem. I'll tell you what, though. I think Makhachev said that Poirier didn't deserve a title shot, man. Come on, Makhachev, man. Just fight him, man. Whoever you fight, you're going to be the favorite. And if anything, man, Poirier's a bigger star, so there'll probably be more people watching your fight, man. I don't know, man. Don't disrespect Dustin and say he doesn't deserve it. Just take the fight and beat him up.
I don't think he deserves it, but I think he's maybe the only guy that'll be ready in time to fight Islam. I think he's the only guy that works for the schedule, but I don't think he's the number one contender at all. At all. If you look at Dustin Poirier, Charles Oliveira has a legitimate beef. Charles Oliveira was supposed to fight Islam Makhachev, but then something happened, right? He got hurt, and then Islam wound
man.
Up... Right?
It just froze on my side, So I'm not sure if you heard what I said or...
I heard what you said.
Okay.
That you think that you think Islam should just fight Dustin.
Yeah, exactly. Fight him.
But, like, Charles Oliveira, to me, has a legitimate beef. He was supposed to fight Islam. He beat Beneil Dariush. Then he was supposed to fight Islam. He got hurt. And then Volkanovski stepped in for that fight, right? Back in October. And now Oliveira is fighting Armin Sarukian. If he beats Sarukian, who's another tough guy, a tough contender, if he beats Sarukian and Dariush back-to-back, after already been promised and booked and signed a contract to fight Islam Makhachev in the rematch that he never wound up getting, and then you go in and you put Dustin Poirier in there instead, a guy who Charles Oliveira beat in 2021 by submission, when he was champion, you know, Charles defended the title against Poirier. Now you're going to throw Poirier in there again? I think Charles has a legitimate beef. Also, Justin Gaethje just knocked out Dustin Poirier. How come Justin Gaethje doesn't get the title shot if he beats Max Holloway? I feel like Gaethje and Oliveira with wins in 2 weeks' time at UFC 300... should be far and away considered above Dustin Poirier for the next lightweight title shot. Because they beat him.
I mean, like I say, I don't care who gets the title shot. I'm just saying if Poirier gets it, man, don't hate on the man. He's a legend, man. Give him his shot. But yeah, you're probably right. Oliveira would be the number one choice that makes the most sense, especially a win with against Tukurian is very impressive. Mm-hmm. Like winning against Benoit Saint-Denis is a nice win, but I don't think Benoit Saint-Denis was that high on the ranking, not as high as Tukurian. And Gaethje also could make a case for himself, man. A lot of it will probably have to do with who's available for when they want to do this. And but yeah, I got no problem with either of the three fights, man. Just have me. I just want to see Islam active.
I think Oliveira should be the guy. He's the number one ranked guy. He's got wins over Gaethje, Poirier, and if he beats Tsarukyan, he would have wins over the number 2, 3, and 4 ranked guys. As the number one guy, Gaethje is 2, Poirier's 3, and Tsarukyan is ranked 4. Charles has beat Gaethje and Poirier, and he's going to fight Tsarukyan, and I think he's going to beat Tsarukyan. So I think Charles should be next for Islam Makhachev, but we'll see. We'll see what the UFC does, because I think the Poirier fight probably sells better. The thing is, with the Poirier fight, Islam hasn't beat him. Islam has beat Charles, right? So that's kind of tough. It's maybe a tougher sell as a pay-per-view to put Charles in there, even though, contender-wise, he probably deserves it, especially if he beats Tsarukyan. But because he already lost to Islam, you know, Gaethje and Poirier are fresher matchups. I think if I'm the UFC, if Justin Gaethje beats Max Holloway at UFC 300, he wins the BMF title that you're putting up in this fight, you give him the title shot against Islam Makhachev without a doubt. I think it's Gaethje. Above Oliveira, above Poirier, because of the name, the schedule, the fight, the fresh matchup, I think everything kind of leads to Justin Gaethje, and I hope the UFC goes in that direction, because I think Gaethje and Islam would be a pretty sick fight. I think Gaethje actually has the wrestling to be more of a problem for Islam than Dustin or Charles would be. Having said that, I think we were saying the same thing when Gaethje fought Khabib, and we all know how that went. Not really so good for Gaethje. So, I don't think anybody beats Islam. I mean, I'm not picking any of these guys to beat Islam. From number 1 to number 15, nobody's beaten Islam Makhachev anytime soon. So, it doesn't really matter who they throw at him, right? It's kind of a moot point. It's like, meh. I think kind of that's what you're saying, Fred. Like, I just want to see Islam fight because it doesn't matter who they throw at him. He's going to beat all those guys. Just, you know, eventually he'll beat them all. Just one after another. Let's just get it on. Islam last fought in October. It's enough already. Let's see our guy in the cage. I think he's number one pound for pound. Active. Outside of John Jones, I'd put Islam number one, right?
Probably, man. Tell you what, man, I'm so... Right now, I'm on the Alex Pereira bandwagon.
Mm.
I can't wait for his fight against Jamahal Hill in 2-3 weeks. And, I'm trying to remember some of the crazy stats I've seen of Alex Pereira. But he's defeated a bunch of former champions. He's just a killer. He's on a roll, and what he's done in this short time is legendary, and that puts him as one of the top of all time, even. I'll go as far as saying so. Alex Pereira, if he could beat Jamahal Hill, that would be another great win to add to his resume. Another former champion that he would beat. Makhachev definitely is in the discussion for pound for pound king. He might be number one. I'm big on Pereira right now.
What if Pereira, just for argument's sake, Fred, loses to Jamahal Hill? Say he gets knocked out at UFC 300, right? And then at 36 years old, with a 9-3 pro record, decides it's enough and retires, which he could do, which wouldn't be a stupid move at 36. You get knocked out, it's like, all right, man, what do you have left to prove? You're a two-weight champion. Like, what are you going to do? If he does that, how do you think he's remembered? Because the window in the UFC was very short. He really didn't fight in the UFC for that long. He had some impressive performances, but say he loses to Jamahal Hill, I wonder how he's remembered in 5-10 years' time. Do people even remember him? Because his reign and his time on top was so short, and there were a couple losses in there, like two Adesanya. There's one loss to Adesanya, and you know there could be a loss to Jamahal Hill, but we'll see there. But you know, say he does lose, how do you think he's remembered? Like, how important do you think that fight is for his legacy? Because I think it's very important. Because if he beats Jamahal Hill, he goes on. He's the champion. He's, you know, he's got a reign. He's defended the title. He's never defended a UFC title, right? He won the UFC middleweight title, lost the UFC middleweight title. He's now won the UFC light heavyweight title, has not yet defended it. If he can't defend a championship, I don't know if he's remembered that fondly, that legendarily. But if he can beat Jamahal Hill, defend once, twice, three times, then it's a whole other deal.
I think he's definitely going to be remembered no matter what. I'm going to say, like, there might be a couple of young kids that have no respect for their elders that don't respect him. But the guy is a champion in two divisions. And if you look like, so, okay, he's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 fights in the UFC. And 5 of them are against guys that have held a title at some point, you know, Jiří, Jan, Israel again, Sean Strickland. So like this guy has been fighting the top of the top and he's winning and he's been the champ in two division. Like, yeah, it's maybe a little bit unprecedented that, you know, let's say he only has like 8 or 9 fights in his UFC career. Can he be a Hall of Famer with 8 or 9 fights? I say definitely, man, with what he's been doing in those 8 or 9 fights, man, he's definitely a Hall of Famer. He's definitely a legend. I don't know. I appreciate Alex Pereira a lot.
I do too, but I don't think he's even top 5 double champions in UFC. Let me explain. The body of work, the legendary status, the length of career, I think there are other double weight champions that are greater.
Ooh,
and
George.
More. Okay,
BJ Penn.
George, BJ, Daniel Cormier, John Jones.
Okay.
Conor McGregor.
I mean, Conor McGregor's a stretch because he never defended the title either. The same thing that you're holding up against it.
I'm just saying, if Pereira can't defend the title, then he also hasn't defended the title like Conor.
So what, you name 5 guys. Can you name a 6th guy? Because if Pereira's number 6, it's not that bad.
Well, there haven't been that many two-weight champions in the UFC.
Exactly, man. Give him his respect, man.
I am giving him his respect. I'm just saying I would give those other guys.
He's better than Randy Couture.
Randy's another, yeah. Well, is he, though? Randy's like a pioneer,
man. Randy's like a 500 fighter in his career, man. A little bit over.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. I'd say he's greater than Randy Couture. But it's different. Yeah. Are those all the double? Amanda Nunes greater than, you know? Amanda Nunes, what she accomplished? Come on, man. The wins that she has in her career?
This discussion is all happening under your speculation that he's going to lose.
That's right.
And retire.
That's
which
right.
is not going to happen, man.
No, probably not.
Oh, he's got at least 5, 6, maybe 10 more fights in front of him.
If he does lose, that's the discussion. It's like Pereira, yeah, he's good and all, but like he wasn't George or Connor or DC or John Jones or Nunes. Like he's cool, double champ, but he's not going to be in the double champ super Hall of Fame discussion. Like it's cool, but he's got to win is what I'm saying. I think the win against Jamahal Hill is very, very important for the legacy. Because I think if he wins, then he could surpass at least Connor on that list because he could at least defend a championship. I mean, not selling pay-per-views like Connor, but defending belts, to me, means something. So I just think that it's an important fight for him, and I'm excited about the fight too. And I think he is going to win. I think I'm going to pick him to win. I just think he really needs to win. Like, for the legacy of Pereira, I think it's a very important fight. I'm looking forward to it. UFC 300 coming up in just a couple of weeks. We got UFC this Saturday. UFC next Saturday is back in Vegas. We got Brendan Allen versus Chris Curtis, but nobody's going to be watching that because it's WrestleMania night one. And then the following weekend, April 13th, UFC 300. And if you're in Montreal like I am, on the following Monday after UFC 300, April the 15th, Monday Night Raw in Montreal, brother. I got my tickets. I'll be at Raw Monday, April 15th, live at the Bell Center in Montreal. It's going to be great. And there'll be way more people at Raw than there were at Dynamite last night in Quebec City. Looked like they had about 600 people there. It's pretty empty. But I'm not sure.
I read 3,000, but.
Yeah, it was probably about 3,000, 4,000 maybe. It was not a lot. It was not a surprise. We'll talk about it tomorrow night on Wrestling Uncensored when I'll be back tomorrow, 10 p.m. Eastern time, right after SmackDown. Will Dave and AJ go to Saudi Arabia for UFC? Definitely not, John. Definitely not. Not for the Khamzat fight. But I'll say this. Maybe one day I will go to Saudi Arabia for a fight. I do kind of want to go to Saudi Arabia or Abu Dhabi for a UFC. I think it would be cool. Or a WWE show. Just to visit there. I think it would be cool to visit there when it's like safe, when there's like a lot of other people there and you're kind of good.
Let's go!
What just happened?
I'm not sure, man. There's weird stuff happening today.
Is there weird stuff happening? What the hell just happened? All right. I'll be back tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern time for Wrestling Uncensored. Fred, anything you want to add? Oh. How about your Houston Astros, Fred? They sure did suck today, losing to the fantastic New York Yankees. The Yankees come back and win 5-4 today in Houston, opening day. The Yankees win.
Good for them.
Yankees win 5-4 in Houston, powered by some brilliant defense in the outfield from Alex Verdugo and Juan Soto. Two offseason pickups for the Yankees, who looked amazing today. Verdugo with a just fantastic over the back catch in left in the eighth inning, and then Juan Soto throwing out the tying run at the plate with an absolute cannon to Jose Trevino, who made a perfect tag. That was challenged and challenge denied for the Houston Astros. The call stood. He was out at the plate, and the Yankees walked away 1-0 so far in the 2024 Major League season, beating the Astros in Houston. And I think the Yankees, after watching them today, have the best outfield in Major League Baseball in every aspect of the game. Hitting, fielding, they have the number one outfield in all of baseball. I challenge any outfield, any team, to put up the numbers, to put up the production, the defense, the offense that we're going to see this year from the outfield of Verdugo, Judge, and Soto. They looked amazing out there today. It was very exciting. It felt like a game that the Yankees were going to lose at many points, because I'm used to them losing these types of games from watching them last season. I thought we were going to blow it in the ninth. But then Juan Soto threw an amazing throw to home plate and gunned the guy, got him out. I was like, oh, he just saved the game. Whoa, that's amazing. He's new. This is a new thing for the team. Look at that guy. I'm happy that he took Judge out of right and Judge is in center and now he's in right. I'm fine with that because he is a hell of a right fielder. It was amazing. It was amazing to watch these Yankees today. Very impressive baseball.
I think you're overreacting, but yeah, cool. First game of the season, man. I'm happy you're hype.
Man, you can't beat that outfield. How are you going to beat that outfield? It's ridiculous. It's
I couldn't
crazy.
Name you the outfield of any other team or even the one you just named. So,
yeah. Well, I'm telling you, I mean, just Judge and Soto together and Verdugo is a hell of a player. It's pretty good. Jays looked better, says Johnny North. Yeah, sure they did, John. Sure they did. Yankees just beat the Astros in Houston. I don't care that the Jays beat the Rays. It means nothing to me. The Jays will suck this year. That's a prediction and a spoiler. I'll be back tomorrow. Everybody's like, oh, it's just the first game of the season. Oh, the Blue Jays. Who cares about the Blue Jays? Fuck the Blue Jays. It's only game one of 162. Yeah, and you know what? The Yankees have won 100% of their games. Batting 1,000 so far, Angelo. So, good luck. I don't know what your team is, but I can assure you that they suck compared to the Yankees. And that's it. I'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for watching. Thanks to the members, Angelo, Lior, everybody supporting the channel. Appreciate it. Over at join.ringsidereport.net. I'll be back tomorrow night to talk pro wrestling with Johnny North right here on the Ringside Report Network.
Thanks for sticking with us to the end. We would really appreciate it if you could help us spread the word. Please share this episode on whichever social media platform you use. Add a comment below and consider reviewing us on Apple Podcasts. We are an audience-supported network, so consider becoming a recurring supporter at membership.ringsidereport.net. Check out our website at ringsidereport.net. Hope to see you again next time and have a good night.